الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما الأعمال بالخواتيم، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. In this hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all actions are judged according to the end, how they come to an end. On one occasion, Malakul Maut met Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, the great famous Nabi of Bani Israel. And so Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, if you just come to meet me, or if you come to take my ruh. And Malakul Maut meets many people even like that, not just to take out their ruh. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says he also met Malakul Maut a few times. And he told him also, you have come, so take my ruh. He said, no, your time is not yet up. I've just come to make mulaqat. So Malakul Maut comes to make mulaqat also. So Yaqub Ali Salaam asked him, have you come just to meet, or have you come to take my ruh? He says, no, I've just come to meet you. When I have to take your ruh, then I'll first send you 3 reminders. And after that, I'll take your ruh. Then when the time came for Yaqub alayhi salam to leave, so Malakul Maut came and he said, now it's time for you to leave. But he said, you promised me, you said you'll send me first 3 reminders and then you'll take my ruh. He said, I send my 3 reminders. He says, what? He says, first, when your beard, your hair turns white, that is my first reminder. This is normally. Otherwise, people do pass away in young age also. But normally, when your hair turns white. Second is when you become weak now, and you can't do the things when you were young. Now you find you are handicapped in many things. You haven't got that strength, that power to do your things. And the third is when your back bends, and you are now leaning forward. That is my 3 reminders I've sent. So Allah Ta'ala in the Quran Sharif also, Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَن نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. When a person, Allah Ta'ala makes him old, then Allah makes him upside down again as far as his creation is concerned. Like when a child is born, it can't do anything for itself. Like that in old age, many people become like that also. They become dependent. When a child, it can't think for itself. Parents have to tell it everything. Like that in old age also you start becoming. So that is how you become in your old age. So anyway, so many reminders Allah sends for us. The halat of the world, every day, the after day is night, after night is day, is to remind us, after this day of my worldly life, my night of my qabr and akhirat is going to come. Every day there are reminders for us. Every day there are people who are passing away. Sometimes we come to know, we don't come to know, but all the time there are people passing away. That is a reminder for us that I'm also going to be passing away. A more greater reminder, when there's a janaza in the family, and we are part of making the ghusl, etc., the kafan, the burying, that's a great reminder. And like that, if we just attend a janaza, it's also a reminder. We are also, one sunnah practice, Allah bring it into our lives, to visit the qabristan and to visit it on a Friday. The Jews still today, they go to their cemeteries, those who go, they go on a Saturday. The Christians go on a Sunday. For Muslims, we should go on a Friday, preferably. So that is also a great reminder. And going to the Qabristan is not to make Isal-e-Sawab primarily. We make, when we go there, we make Isal-e-Sawab. But it isn't for that purpose. That we should do on a daily basis. And in order, at one time, Hazrat Mufti Zainul Abideen Sahib Rahmatullah Ali had come to our country for Tabligh-e-Ijtima. And that time the Darul Uloom wasn't built still. So I met Hazrat at the Jami Masjid and I told him, we intend building the Darul Uloom, if you can come and make dua on the land there. So he says, since when have you also become of those people who think that dua can only take place there. He says, since I've come, I've been making dua for you and for your Darul Uloom. It's not necessary that you have to be at that place. So same thing for our marhumin. Doesn't mean we have to go to the Qabristan, but we should visit our parents' qabrs also. We should try and visit. And when we go, then we will make isalis off. But the main object is to remind us that this is my final abode. My dream house I want to build. My dream bedroom. I would like my bedroom to be like this. I would like my bathroom to be like this. All that. My dream place must be that. What am I preparing for there? It is said about Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu that he lived a very frugal life, very basics of dunya. Then somebody asked him, you are such a great sahabi, and after the futuhat, when the time came, when Allah opened the riches of the dunya on the sahaba, and still he was living a simple life. In here also, there are two points that the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, when they were making great sacrifices for deen, they did it right through. But at the beginning, when they were doing those sacrifices, where they were not allowed to take revenge, they just had to take the hiding. They couldn't speed back. They couldn't do anything. And what difficulties. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhum himself, he was put on the burning hot sands of Arabia. And then they would force him that he must deny Allah Ta'ala, not believe, but he would keep on saying Ahad, 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 all the time. So all these sacrifices. In Medina Sharif, the sacrifices intensified in a different way. In the way that many Jews pretended to become Muslims were the famous Munafiqeen, the hypocrites. They were not Muslims, they just pretended to be. And the alliance of the enemies, not only of Mecca Sharif, the Romans, the Persians, all got together against the Islam. So all the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum used to say, we wonder if that day will come when we can sleep without our weapons next to us. In other words, we always feared there would be an attack any time. So they lived in, we slept, we have got no fear now. Last night we slept away, we had no fear. We live a life, we haven't got an idea of what their lives were like. Worried about their family, worried about their children, their lives, their iman. All the attacks were all the time there. So that is how they had lived all the time. So, and afterwards, then Allah Ta'ala sent futuhat, the openings, when the conquest of Islam took place. After, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْ. And that also, when the surah was revealed, generally, by and large, all the Sahaba became very happy that now Allah has declared that وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. You will see now people entering into the fold of Islam, huge, huge groups, one after the other. And that was the thing. Every day envoys were coming to Medina Sharif and from this area, that area, they accepting Islam, they accepting Islam. Our whole village has accepted Islam. All this was happening. So that was a time when all this futuhat came. And now Islam started spreading. So at that time when the surah was revealed, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, the Sahaba became happy that now our days of mujahada will be over. Now Islam is spreading and there will be istiqbal. Everywhere people will welcome us, wherever we go. And zakat, the people were paying. From everywhere, all the zakat was coming to the Baytul Mal in Medina Sharif. The wealth had increased now. And before, was difficult condition. So all this had happened. But when the surah was revealed, one man, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was weeping. Not only crying, he was weeping. So the other sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum say, we can't understand, oh Abu Bakr, that everyone is happy, Islam is spreading now, Allah has declared, people are going to come into the fold of Islam. The time of Fatha إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ. And in that, all the khazana, treasures are also going to come now. Everything, the day has come of ease to sit back and rest now. So, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I see this whole matter, that this is an announcement from Allah ta'ala, that the time for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to leave the world has come. That now his mission is completed. He came here to establish the deen of Allah ta'ala. And now the deen of Allah is established, now he will leave us. So that is where Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu's gaze went. Where other people's gaze doesn't generally go, but his gaze went there. So anyway, so these futuhat, they had come. So Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in spite of all this, he lived a very simple life. When he was asked about it, he said that, I've got actually two houses. So then that may put the person in the complete opposite again. That like he was living a life where he's got nothing. And now he's got two houses. He's like living a very affluent life, living with two houses. And a person needs one house, which is sufficient for him. Why does he need two houses? So then he explained, my other house is in Jannah. And whatever I get here in this dunya, I send it there. I get some extra money, instead of buying a new stove for myself, I give it to the poor and needy. And that by that, I'm furnishing my house of Jannah. I get some money, I can buy a new car here, according to our times. Instead of that, I carry on with my little car, and I get the transport of Jannah, the buraq of Jannah, which will be forever and ever. So that is what we have to keep in mind. These reminders, that we remind ourselves. So when we go to the qabr, to the qabristan, then it should be a reminder that this is my dream house. And think for ourselves. Last night was the 27th night, odd night, that how much did I prepare for my akhirah? And how much am I preparing for my dunya? Our dunya, we don't fall back upon, practically on anything. It comes in one hadith. Prepare for your akhirat as though you are going to pass away now. Prepare for your dunya as though you are going to pass away now. And prepare for your akhirat as though you are still going to live for a long time. So the outward meaning, which is not the correct meaning, that is for dunya, work hard as though you are going to die now. And for akhirat, that you can stall your things. So Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he explained this one hadith once when he was out in Jamaat in Saudi, and some alim took objection to what he explained. Then he told him, you go and check the meaning of it, I will also go and check. We'll meet again and then we'll discuss and see who is right. And whoever is right must make shukr, who is wrong must correct himself. Then Maulana Sayyid Khan Sahib explained that prepare for your akhirah that as though you are going to die now. What does that mean? That I still have to read, for example, today I didn't read my Surah Kahf. So I mustn't waste time. I won't say I can still read it, I got till Asr, I got till Maghrib. As though I'm going to die now, do it immediately. Don't waste time. I haven't read how much Quran Sharif I've fixed for myself to read. Every day 2 suparas, 5 suparas, 10 suparas. And I say that I still got time. Don't do that. For akhirat, do it as though I'll die now. Do it immediately. And for your dunya, that you live in such a way as though you got a long life. A washer is worn out, for example. So you don't have to do it immediately. Oh, I still got long time to do it. My car needs service. Doesn't mean I have to take it now immediately for service. I got long time. So for our akhirat, we must not delay. We must do our thing. But unfortunately, we don't delay in renewing our license, for example, paying our monthly accounts and bills, etc. But many of us fall back on our tilawat of Quran Sharif. If we are making our qaza umri, though we realize we have started, but we still fall back. Many of us on the matters of deen, we find ourselves weak. So we should be preparing all the time. And whatever conditions we pass through should be a reminder for our akhirah. In fact, it is said, a sa'idu man wa'idha bi ghayri. A sa'id person, a mas'ud, a person who has got great blessings, goodness in his life, a person who has been blessed by Allah, he takes a lesson from everyone and everything that's happening in the world. Even if it's happening to somebody else, he takes a lesson from there. And an unfortunate person, even when things happen to himself, he doesn't take a lesson. When he sees I've suffered, it comes also in the hadith that a mu'min doesn't fall in the same hole twice. But how many times we fall, we make the same mistakes again. I miss my fajr once a week, I miss it twice a week. And why am I missing it? Whatever the reasons are, I'm not sleeping on time. And with regard to that, let us also remember this very important point. Many of us have the problem with fajr namaz. And so the main reason is because we don't sleep early. The best, according to the Hanafi madhab, the sunnah time of reading Isha is to delay and make Isha. This also, if we can correct it, the ulama and the mutawallis of the masjid, our whole trend is going in the Salafi direction. They make their namazes awwal waqt. Generally, Isha is made now awwal waqt. Whereas it is, it should be delayed a bit to the latter part of the night. And so, also, many of our masjids, we got these du'as hung up in the masjid. Also, those are the Salafi du'as. They are from Hadith. No problem with that. But we are preferring giving them preference. And what our buzurgs have taught us, the sunnah du'as to read our wazaif, they are also from Hadith. But we are giving preference to the Salafi. We are preparing our masjid for Salafis. And then afterwards they come and they just take over the masjid. And they're doing that. In Kenya, many masjids, the Salafis just came and just took them over. Even where Shab Guzari was taking place. Everything. So we are preparing it. Like the Barilwis, they come, they take over our masjids. Yeah, the Salafis come and we are the cause of it. We do the groundwork for them. We make our namaz like a Salafi masjid. A namaz awwal waqt, the zikrs we do, what they do, etc. So we should maintain our Hanafi system. So the Hanafi sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you should delay Isha. And one purpose the fuqaha write for that, why Isha is delayed, that when you're waiting for Isha till late, like now in actual summer, now we're already in autumn, but in actual summer, well, if Isha Azan comes in at 33 minutes past 8, for example, 35 minutes past 8 we give Azan. And some places after 10 minutes we make namaz. So hardly enough time for sunnahs with ease and comfort. If you want to, you just rush. Otherwise, sunnahs important is also gone out of us. So we just make the faraz. And we are happy that otherwise people won't make their Isha. But do the right thing and do it the right way. Don't do it the wrong way. So so Isha should be round about 9, quarter past 9. There may be a few people who can remember in the olden days when our old alims were still alive, they should delay Isha till 9 o'clock, quarter past 9 in summer. And the reason for that is, which the fuqaha write, now you are exhausted after Isha. So when you go home, you go and sleep immediately. And we want to make Isha by 7:30, by 7:45, in awwal waqt. And now you're still fresh after Isha. So what you do, you go on the cell phone. Today is that, you go on the phone. And you spend 1 hour, 2 hours on the phone. And then you can sleep. And the reasoning behind all this is, the quality sleep a person gets is immediately after Isha. That is the quality sleep. The most tastiest, enjoyable sleep which a person enjoys is the tahajjud time. That time shaitan makes that sleep so that you don't get up for tahajjud, you enjoy that sleep. And quality sleep, that deep sleep when you are tired and you fall asleep. Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali used to, all of them used to sleep early, straight after Isha, And in the hadith, Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anis samura. That is the talks and discussions over after Isha. And on the phone we are talking with who and who. Whether we are watching all programs or what, where we got contact around the world we got. And we are prohibited to even speak to the people just around us. We must go and sleep after Isha. And so if you sleep after Isha straight away and you get that quality sleep, which means that heavy sleep, that and what is called sleep, Fuqaha have written, sleep is not when you are sleeping and you know people, what they talking around you, or who's coming in the room, who's going out, but you don't know a thing what is happening. That is called that quality sleep. So Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali used to say that they should sleep like that straight after Isha. And at that time, when you're in that heavy sleep of yours, bed bugs are biting you, you don't know. Mosquitoes are biting you, you don't know. But when you come to know now, that means now that heavy sleep of yours is over. That's what your body really needed, that rest, to revitalize you, to give you again, make you fresh again and do your things properly. Now you start feeling that. So Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali should term them that they are our alarm clocks. Now it's time to get up for tahajjud. Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali used to sleep and his legs were pulled up. We sleep, normally all of us, legs are stretched out. But he should sleep with his legs pulled up. So his Khadim told him, Hazrat, why are you sleeping like this? Stretch your legs, you can get a proper sleep. He said, Bawla, stupid, mad person, have we come in this world to sleep? Just that little bit, you just get your rest, then you get back. Haji Imdadullah is famous, night after night, whole night ibadat in the Haram Sharif. So just that little bit rest, that is what we need. And then at tahajjud time, that sweet sleep is very sweet, so very difficult to get up. But if we sleep straight after Isha, and if we can make our Isha in the sunnah time, delay it a bit, even in winter, even in summer, and then we go and sleep straight away, we get the quality sleep, then we see it will be very easy to get up for tahajjud also, and to get up for fajr also. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Our deen is such a deen with so much of logic and reasoning. It's a perfect deen. And the more man will become advanced, modern, the more he will realize that this is the most perfect, only perfect way of life. That is what is called deen. So anyway, Allah Ta'ala sends us all these reminders all the time. And this reminders us, for what is a reminder? To remind us. But we get reminders also, even on our cell phone, and we just brush it aside. Or we get a notice of a hard copy, and that also we just put it one side. The necessity is to act on it, to do what it is. Many people in our dunya's matters also, we are negligent. We don't pay our accounts on time. We don't do our things on time, etc. If you are, for example, working for somebody, you have got deadlines, and your boss wants you, this must be completed by this date, by then now. If you are ustad in a madrasa, for example, you've got a syllabus to complete. By when you must complete it. When you get your exam papers, you have to prepare your exam papers, and they must be prepared by a certain date and time. When you have to mark, you have to mark and have your marks ready by a certain time. All these things, but many of us fall back on that also. Then as far as our deen is concerned, which is ghaib, which we can't see, we become more negligent. And deen must be such as though things are in front of us. And more important, we must give preference to deen. So now Ramadan has come, was also a month of great reminders also. And alhamdulillah, if Allah give us all that we spend our time reasonably correct, perfect, nobody can. And alhamdulillah, many brothers do try and make their efforts. So let us take this lesson now, at the end of Ramadan, take the lessons for the rest of the year. As how beautifully Hazrat Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali explained, that if you live your life like Ramadan, your mort will come like Eid. If you live not only your Ramzan, also if you spend it properly, then the real Eid will come. Not the Eid of new clothes, not the Eid of chicken and biryani and all the family meetings and that. But the real Eid is the meeting with Allah Ta'ala. That this month we purified ourselves, Allah gave us the rozas to purify ourselves from all filth and dirt. And roza, fasting, is one of the greatest detoxifying things. Not only for the body, for the soul also. For all the wrong things, for our pride. And also on this point, let us also remember that we might think many people are far from deen. People who are in drugs, for example, who are womanizing, who are gambling, who don't come to the masjid. Many, many of them, there are the other types also, but they are such that if they meet us, for example, in the family, one person in the family, friends, etc., they say, you people are the people of God, you are Allah wala. We are the filthy people, we are big gunegar. They say themselves like that. Now, and we, if we think, because of their saying, we will accept the view, or even of that drug addict, that he says you're an Allah wala. So we say, yeah, what he says is true. I am an Allah wala. He has given testimony to it. And if we think we are Allah wala, and we get this pride in us, and we do things because people praise us that you are pious, and death comes into us. Now the two people, they are, if they come tomorrow in front of Allah, one is a person who is a gambler, womanizer, drinks alcohol, all the wrong things he does. And he comes humbly by Allah that I'm a big sinner. I did all the evil things. And if we come there by Allah and in this state of frame of mind that I'm pious, I used to make 5 times namaz. I used to give bayans. I should tell people what is right and what is wrong. Who stands a better chance for forgiveness by Allah? That person stands a far better chance than what we stand. So we have to be very careful. We have to become pious also, but the pride must not come into a person. And neither must this thing for name and fame, that people think of me as proud. So we should take our great lessons from this month now. And if we now we spend the rest of the year, how we spend Ramadan, then we will see when our mort will come. It will come also in that wonderful way that we will be, then we will, mort will be al-maut or jasrun. Yusalul habib ilal habib. Mort is that bridge that joins the lover to his beloved. Who won't want to be joined to his beloved? Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi writes a beautiful incident that one person was out on the streets middle of the night. And those days the police, they had a curfew. No people without necessity, all must be indoors. Otherwise the crooks usually are out. So the police saw this person and they gave chase. That he's a person, he's, and he was going after his beloved. He wanted to meet his beloved, looking for her. And when the police gave chase, then he scaled the wall, which normally a person can't do. But when you're under pressure, you do those things which normally you cannot do. And when he scaled the wall, he fell in the lap of his beloved. So he gave duas to the police, that by their chasing me, I fell where I got. So halat that comes many times, chase us to Allah. We don't make tahajjud, but when some financial problem, medical problem in the family, now we start getting up. And now if you get the taste of tahajjud, you'll make shukr to that problem. That this problem brought me yet into the lap of Allah. And now I fell and I came to Allah Ta'ala. So Allah give us a tawfiq, inshallah. And also, well, always we are part of the ummah. Never forget the rest of the ummah. Especially presently, the Muslims in Palestine, Baitul Muqaddas, and also the Muslims in Syria, the Muslims in Sudan, and in India, in Kashmir, generally India as a whole, all the conditions Muslims are going through, always make dua for them also. And let us make shukr the afiyat that we have got. And these things can start anywhere, anytime. With the present tension between America and South Africa on the political level. If the America wants to, they can change the conditions here as far as MAP is concerned and make life difficult for the people here. They can cause all types of things. As it is, they are planning that the Cape province must ask for independence from South Africa. It must be a separate, because the DA is strong there, so that they, and they are in favor of the Zionists and in favor of America, so they must be, so they, Allah can change conditions overnight. We must not be oblivious, unmindful. Make dua for the others and correct ourselves. And the more we live a deeny life, Qabristan is to remind us, and our whole life we live and we can be reminded. Ramzan be a great reminder for us. Our keeping hungry, not eating food should be a reminder. All this must be great reminders for us. And if we take the lesson, then we will benefit tremendously. Otherwise, many Ramzans will come and go as they have come and gone, and we will be just where we are. Or perhaps we will go backwards. But if we take these lessons, we can go far front. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah.